You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Thursday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Busy, busy show coming up. We got Joe Montana and Troy Aikman coming up in the second hour of the program. Or as McLovin likes to call that, the system quarterback hour.
Oh, hey.
Well, you never said that about Troy Aikman, but you did say it about Joe Montana.
Because the whole system quarterback argument assumes that you put up good numbers because of a system.
Oh, no, we got it. We understand it.
Right, but Troy doesn't fit in because obviously he didn't put up good numbers.
Wow.
Why
are you doing this?
I'm a huge Troy Aikman defender. People say he wasn't versatile. He was. He could hand off to the left and hand off to the right. He's a dual threat quarterback.
This is Super Bowl McLovin. This is when we're on site and we have these quarterbacks in, and you're so good, so snarky with these quarterbacks. When Eli Manning came on, and we always had these quarterbacks throw to McLovin. McLovin puts on his receiver gloves, puts on his helmet, and I just tell the quarterbacks, fire away. And when Eli was getting ready and he was holding the football, and McLovin says to Eli Manning, hey, just act like I'm an Eagles defender. And I go, wow. And then with Alex Smith, on the day that he was going to be traded when he joined us in Minnesota. Yeah, Paulie.
McLovin goes to Alex Smith. He goes, yeah, you can throw me a couple of hot ones. And Alex Smith goes, are you sure? He goes, it's not like Mahomes is going to walk in. I'm not worried.
What would we do if it was Aikman and Montana? Would Aikman just give me a really hard handoff in the stomach? Like, just
wow.
But Montana, too, like, what, throw me an 8-yard slant that I have to run 80 yards? Is that how that would work? I don't.
Welcome to the program, already in progress. Yes, Tom.
He's very comfortable taking these shots, McLovin. Then I end up getting the email. What did you guys just say a little while ago? Is he still coming on your show?
Yeah. So Joe Montana and Troy Aikman will join us coming up in the second hour of the program. We'll check in with one of our favorites, Peter Schrager from the NFL Network. Good morning, football. Aaron Donald, we taped the interview yesterday afternoon. And we put out some of the comments that he had on the quarterbacking situation with the Rams, with Jared Goff, and also with Matthew Stafford coming to the Rams. But he talked about his injury and why he was so emotional in that loss against the Green Bay Packers. And I thought it was a pretty revealing interview with Aaron Donald. That'll be coming up in the final hour of the show. Your phone calls are always welcome. 877-3DP-SHOW. Operator Marvin is standing by. If you'd like to tweet, Mario will gather all of those. And if you want to email, I don't know if anybody picks those up. dp@danpatrick.com. Say good morning to Peacock, our TV partner, and our radio affiliates, numbering nearly 400, the largest sports radio show in America, and the formidable Fox Sports Radio lineup. Poll question, play of the day, stat of the day, all of that coming up. And an anniversary of sorts for Deshaun Watson that will be brought to your attention coming up. Yesterday, we were reminded just how tenuous Super Bowl 55 really is. The fact that we got here is pretty amazing. And it still feels like there's the, what if this happens? Kansas City Chiefs had 20 players and staff members, including Patrick Mahomes, scheduled to get a haircut from a barber who tested positive. You can't make this up. If you said, hey, just come up with a crazy headline. How about close shave? Kansas City barber test positive. You wouldn't believe that, but you'd click on that headline. They pulled the barber mid-cut. I mean, this isn't Justin Turner. When Justin Turner is in the game-clinching, World Series-clinching game six, they pull him after the seventh inning. This is, I guess, the Chiefs' version of that. But the center, Daniel Kilgore, and receiver DeMarcus Robinson were placed on the COVID list because of contact tracing. There's still a couple of days to go. I hope everybody stays healthy. No haircuts. No, stay away from everybody. Just get this game in. But, you know, the Dodgers pulled Justin Turner. We had no idea what was going on in the World Series. And then we realized what went on in the World Series. And hopefully the NFL won't face that situation. Hopefully we don't get somebody pulled in like the third quarter or something. But imagine if Mahomes was in the chair. Because you would think, hey, let's let Mahomes get his hair cut first, right? I mean, just imagine. You had guys lined up down the hall to get their haircuts. And you had the barber who tested negative, And then they do the rapid test, and they didn't wait 30 minutes for the results that day. But, yeah, look, you got to have, you know, the sides tight, and you got to get a freshie here. You know, it's Super Bowl week. You want to look good on Super Bowl Sunday. Let's just hope nothing else happens here. Like, this is one of the bigger headlines that we've had. There hasn't been a whole lot that has to do with the game itself. You know, the Scotty Miller trash talk, if you will, in air quotes, about Tyreek Hill. All right, we ran with that as long as we could. Then it's Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I think we've spent more time talking about Brady and Belichick than we have Brady and Mahomes in this Super Bowl. But, you know, hopefully no other haircuts here. You can wait until after the Super Bowl and get a freshie. Yes, Paulie?
Don't you have in your mind the scene? There's 20 guys in a line in a ballroom at the facility or something, some big room. And there's a barber chair and everything's quiet. There's some music going on. And like a SWAT team of staffers comes in and they grab the barber.
Grab him, take him down. Yeah,
swarm. They just take him out of the building like he's a presidential candidate under attack. That's what I picture in my mind is happening. The whole team gets bubble wrapped and they run him back and they get this guy out of there, throw him in a ditch.
You got guys on walkie-talkies. Yeah. Probably we've got him. The package is leaving the building. Package is.
Who's got the barber? Who's got the barber? Screaming and yelling. And they grab Mahomes and escort him to like a room that's airlocked,
hermetically sealed. That's what they need to do. This program brought to you by Built Bar. 18 amazing flavors like mint brownie and coconut almond. Some of my favorites. Go to builtbar.com. Enter the promo code DP for 20% off your purchase. You know, I've said this before about Built Bar. That, you know, we get a package and then all of a sudden it goes quickly around here. And then I find out one of the people in our sales staff at Premier Radio, you know, he has three boxes of those.
That should show you how popular they are.
Yes. So this guy was very proud showing a picture that he had three boxes of Built Bars.
When you... I'm an expert.
You
on
know
this.
His name. His name's Dan.
Yeah, Danny. When you take something from the studio, you shouldn't. You definitely don't take pictures and post it. I could have helped this guy.
Yeah, because I said, look, I got guys in here who want to have a Built Bar. Meanwhile, Dan Metter has got all these boxes there.
We're going last name,
wow.
Too.
Well, I just want to personalize this and let people know that I wanted some Built Bars in here. Dan Metter, wonderful sales guy. Been with us a long, long time.
Loves candy.
He apparently loves Built Bar. So maybe we could get a couple more boxes in here.
If Dan doesn't take them all.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm reaching out and I go, hey, it'd be great to get a couple more Built Bar boxes in here. I got guys that, you know, this would be great. They put in long hours. Next thing I know, Dan Metter's got three boxes. He's very, like, you know, he just went on a hunting trip. He caught like a fish or something. Like, look at my Built Bars that I got. Hey, Todd, I'm not joking around when it comes to this.
But he sells. He doesn't buy. It makes sense. He just gets a bunch of stuff for free.
You're the one who ate the most of these Built Bars.
That's how I can relate to what Dan may or may not have done.
No, it's what he did do.
He definitely did that.
It's not he may or may not have. He did. He has three boxes of the Built Bars, and then he holds them up like he just had this unbelievable catch.
That's questionable behavior, and you certainly shouldn't be taking
Thank you, Todd. Yes, boy.
You know, that Built Bar shipping department is like, why does it say Metter? It's supposed to be Patrick.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be Patrick.
Dan. We sent it to Dan.
Yeah, what's going on here?
By the way, the Dan Patrick Show newsletter, available daily, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, and sign up, danpatrick.com, to enter your email address in the box that slides out bottom right corner, and you're able to have a whole lot of fun, and you can reminisce about everything that happened during the show that day. All right. Let me see. Paul, you just handed me something. Is this has to do with Deshaun Watson? Is this from 5 months ago, I believe? By the way, anniversary, I think it's 5 months tomorrow that Deshaun Watson signed his 4-year contract extension. But I don't know what happened here. Like, what changed? Because he says everything. I'm lost for words, honestly. Been crying a little bit. A lot of bit, really. It's just an amazing moment for me, Deshaun Watson said. The money is amazing. It's life-changing. It's great. Biggest thing is for the organization to just trust in me and believe in me that I'm their guy. I'm their quarterback. That's the biggest thing that really touches me. Well, something's changed in the last 5 months. Yes, Paulie?
Yeah, 5 months ago tomorrow, he got $111 million in guaranteed money. They signed him a year early, a four-year contract extension to Deshaun Watson and the Texans.
Was it a year or 2 years earlier?
He had 2 years left on his rookie deal.
Okay.
The new pack gets him to 2025. The $40 million per year average in new money makes Watson the second highest paid player in the history of the sport behind Mahomes. And that was 5 months ago tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know what happened here. But he thanks everybody in the entire McNair family, the owners, Coach O'Brien, Jack Easterby, the whole Texans organization for helping me make my dream a reality. Special thank you to all my teammates, past and present, for believing in me and helping me grow as both a player and a person. I'll go down to the last paragraph. Last but certainly not least, thank you to the best fans in the NFL. I promise to do everything I can to not only bring a championship to this great city, but also leave a legacy of helping positively impact this community. Now back to the work, Deshaun Watson. And this is after DeAndre Hopkins got traded. You already know the owner's not changing. And you still have your coach, Bill O'Brien. They gave you everything that you wanted. What has happened here in the last couple of months that changed? Did it come down to ownership didn't listen to him, didn't give him an opportunity? He wanted to have a hand, at least a voice in who you were hiring as a head coach? I mean, does this come down to you didn't like who they were hiring? The fact that they didn't interview Eric Bieniemy, Robert Saleh, who is the Jets head coach now, because the ownership hasn't changed. Did something come out about the ownership that changed Deshaun Watson? Is it a culmination of everything? But if you look at what the Texans did, they gave Deshaun Watson everything that he wanted. And if Deshaun thought, you just traded DeAndre Hopkins, this coach is not a good GM, we don't have cap space, I don't have marquee players here, so why sign the contract? Did something come out? Did something happen? This ownership has been there. That hasn't changed. And maybe you learned something that you didn't like. Or maybe you realized, I got to get out of a burning building here. Not that I set the fire, but I'm an accessory. Yeah, McLevin.
There's a lot of reporting on that GM situation where that search firm found Omar Khan and Louis Riddick,
yeah,
and they ignored it and hired Nick Caseria, you know, both of whom were African-American or minorities, and they ignored that and signed Nick Caseria. So I think that people are connecting dots that upset them.
But that, what, like, that changed the last 2 months, that's what drove him to, I got to get out of here?
All we have is his cryptic tweets to go by, and that something started to change in his social media.
Okay. But remember, I go back to James Harden, and one of the reasons why he wanted out reportedly was ownership. Like, I don't think he agreed with the politics of the owner in Houston. I haven't heard anything since then when he got out, but that was supposed to be part of this, whether that was true or not. Can you factor that in with Deshaun Watson with the ownership there? You took their money 5 months ago. Did you just find out something about them or their politics or that they didn't listen to you? I don't know. It's one of those that will get the story probably after this story is completed, then we'll probably get the story of what was going on when there's some distance here. I don't think Deshaun Watson gets traded. Yes, he.
You know, when you look at each one of those things that you just listed individually, you're like, well, I don't know if that's enough. But, you know, the cumulative effect of all of those things piling up, eventually one thing is going to be like, damn, that's it. That's enough. I'm done. I'm out. There's going to be a last straw.
Well, I would have thought that if you had Bill O'Brien and you had Bill O'Brien as the GM and some of the moves that were made, it's not like you go, gosh, look at what we just did. We did something great. And I think Deshaun Watson probably looked around and went, here's Mahomes, who's my contemporary. He's got all these weapons. He's going to be in another Super Bowl. He's been an MVP. And Deshaun Watson's probably saying, I'd like to have some weapons here.
And that's why I'm going to the Jets. Oh, wait, never mind.
Yeah, McLovin.
I mean, there, you just painted a pretty good football picture for wanting out, too. Like, maybe that's why.
No, I understand. I would have wanted out, but I wouldn't have signed the contract. He was going to get that money no matter where he was going to go.
But they were coming up three divisions, like a bunch of division titles in a row. They had had a 24-0 lead on the Chiefs. No one knew the team. I don't think they understood how bad the team was going to get.
Well, but I put some blame on him and his agent to say, are you sure you want to sign this? Yeah. Yeah, see.
You know, I wonder, though, I mean, we are coming off of the whole Dak Prescott situation, right, where he's not signing a new deal and he's not doing all this stuff, and then he gets hurt. You know, if I'm a quarterback like Deshaun Watson or a player like Deshaun Watson and I've got over $100 million staring me in the face, yeah, I'll sign that real quick and then get my way out when I'm unhappy later.
Yeah,
I'll take that money up front for sure.
Brett Favre had some comments here. This was courtesy of Yahoo Sports on Deshaun Watson's trade demand.
I'm kind of old school. I think, you know, you play, you get paid a ton of money to do a certain job and just do it and let the chips fall where they may. I think we make too much money to voice an opinion, but I'm not saying he's wrong. I think it's a different day and time, and it'll be interesting to see how the organization handles it.
Okay, I don't know what Brett is saying here. On one hand, it's basically, hey, shut up and play football. You make a ton of money. And then on the other hand, he says, but I understand where he's coming from. And before I get into, you know, Brett Favre's situation with Green Bay that he wanted out and he wanted to play and stay in the NFC North because he wanted to stick it to the Packers. But Favre was 36, 37 years of age. He had won a Super Bowl. He'd been an MVP a few times. And they had drafted Aaron Rodgers here. You know, Deshaun Watson didn't go through any of that, hasn't accomplished any of that, you know, at the ripe old age of 25. But Favre's saying basically, hey, you make all this money, that should be good enough, and then to come back and say, but I understand where he's coming from. Yes, he.
Deshaun Watson's extension is basically what Brett Favre made in his entire career.
Yeah.
So I always wonder, whenever I hear a retired quarterback say, talk about somebody else's money, I wonder how much of that is like, you know, this dude makes a hell of a lot more money than I ever made. And I just wonder how much of that is a factor.
Oh, the fact that, hey, you should be happy, just play football.
You make $40 million a year, and most I made was like 16 or something like that, you know?
But I think we do that with everybody. Hey, James Harden, hey, you're making 40, you're going to make $50 million a year. You're the one that wanted this with the Houston Rockets. You're the one that had guys traded. You had guys traded out. You guys had guys traded in. You wanted all of this. You wanted this style. You wanted that coach. All of these things. And then he decides that he wants out. You know, there's player empowerment here, which I certainly understand. And it took a long time for them to get that. And I think that's what you're seeing with some of these players. It's just with the amount of money that you're being paid, it's hard to make that happen. Where you go, all right, we'll just trade him. You can't just do that. It's not that simple. But with Deshaun Watson, he wants out. I don't blame him for wanting out, but I would have wanted out earlier. Not all of a sudden you wake up and you go, nope, that's it. I want out of here. Yeah, Paul.
And I think Favre mentioned it, but it's not even close to the same era that he played in, where players took the contract. There was no social media. They didn't have a chance to voice their opinion in any way. And no one really differed with teams 25 years ago when Brett Favre was that age. It really is different. And Favre does acknowledge that. Hey, it's a different time. But that's the big difference, is that he had no outlet for it.
And he went to the Jets, and then he wanted to stay in the NFC North. Then he went to the Vikings because he wanted to stick it to the Green Bay Packers. Now, they've since, you know, mended their friction or animosity or what, however you would describe it. But yeah, but Deshaun Watson, and now what do you do? You force their hand? Are you willing to sit out? And I think the most that he could lose is around $2.5 million if he were to sit out the season. And I think, as Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL Network, tweeted out a couple of weeks ago, like that's what it's going to come down to. Are you willing to call their bluff? And are they willing to call your bluff? Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk, said that, from what he's told, Deshaun Watson will sit out the season if he's not traded. Yeah, McLovin.
What if the best offer is from the Jets, who are rebuilding, and the Texans say, Deshaun, will you take that? But he wants to go to San Francisco, who is not going to have as good an offer to make. Like, how are they going to resolve that? Because the worst teams have the better offers.
Well, the fact that you have a no-trade clause, too.
Right. That confuses everything, right?
Yes.
The Jets can make a great package. Sam Darnold and four first-rounders. But Deshaun might not want to rebuild.
Yeah, because you can't say, hey, I want out of here. I don't know. You can't look at the Jets and say, boy, that's a model of consistency. And, boy, I love the ownership there and all the great moves that they've made. Yeah, Paul.
I've been thinking about this. If you're, and I don't know if this is even legal. If you're Deshaun Watson's agent, do you start calling GMs quietly and saying, look, if you put together a package, my client will say yes to your team? Like, I would think that's how it works. I don't think this is just some haphazard process. I would guess that Watson's agent is on the phone with John Lynch or someone with the Niners saying, look.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I wonder if that's legal or is it like we agree to disagree?
Well, who's that's always where, you know, the free agent signing period, then at 12:01, somebody signs a contract and you're going, wow, in 60 seconds, they negotiated a contract. That's incredible. No, this stuff goes on all the time. And you could go through a third party if you want to. Yeah, I don't know if they're going to trace your calls. All right. You got a poll question, McLovin?
I do.
All right,
but I'm not going to tell you right now.
Let me take a break. Let me take a break. And we'll come back. Phone calls are welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. And as I mentioned, it is a system quarterback hour next hour with Joe Montana and Troy Aikman. Aaron Donald will join us coming up as well. 22, almost 23 after the hour. Hour one on this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Any credit card can offer cash back, but only Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. It's like getting one of those birthday cards that's shaped like cash. You already know there's cash inside before opening it. But in this case, it's stuffed with your first year cashback match, and you don't even have to send a thank you note. It's called Cashback Match, and it's only at Discover Card. Accepted at 99% of the places in the world that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/match. Discover.com/match. Discover something brighter. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. There's a new mayor on NBC Comedy Thursdays. Ted Danson, Holly Hunter, and Bobby Moynihan star in Mr. Mayor. Tonight at 8, 7 Central on NBC, streaming next day on Peacock. If you're watching on Peacock and you can download the app, you can watch the show for free. During the commercial breaks, the backroom guys, including Eric the Big German, they did a great job in bringing back Super Bowl shoots that we had. And we just saw the one where we rented out Alcatraz a couple of years ago when the Super Bowl was in San Francisco. So we get on this boat and we go out to this island, Alcatraz. And a lot of bad guys have been held in Alcatraz. So very famous place, and you're out there. They drop you off, and then the boat leaves. And you go, okay, I'm okay with this. And then you go inside. It looks the same. I mean, we had it nighttime. They let us, we had the whole prison to ourselves. And then we shot a skit of us escaping Alcatraz. And McLovin is the guard. And McLovin is the one who opened up all of our gates to allow us to escape Alcatraz. And then he goes, I'll do it, but you have to take me with you. And I said, I'd rather rot in hell. Like, such a dramatic moment there. I'd rather rot in hell. It was just really well done. But I go back to Chris Long, who was our boss at DirecTV. If I said, hey, we want to do this, he goes, okay. Now, there are times he probably should have said no. But for the most part, whenever we said, hey, I got an idea. How about we have a Texas or a Western town in Arizona for the Super Bowl with real livestock and horses? and it looks like an actual movie set. And he goes, yeah, we can do it. And he built us a Western town. Yeah, see.
There's very early in like the relationship with DirecTV, we're looking to shoot a new open for the show. And Chris Long, who we were just talking about, said, like, think big, you know, like, think like, you know, just go as big as you can. And we kept coming up with these ideas. And he's just like, no, like, think like dream scenario, like huge. There's no way they would say yes to this. And we're like, OK, how about a helicopter? And we fly around New York City. He's like, there you go. Now you got it. There you go. Yeah. Like Michael Bay. Let's make it huge. And that's kind of how he was. He was just like, no, you're still not thinking big enough. Make it even bigger.
And we went into Lower Manhattan. It was a beautiful day. And he wanted this presentation where we were flying in on a helicopter, landed at the heliport. In fact, it's the same heliport with the Thomas Crown Affair with Pierce Brosnan. And, you know, we all have black suits on and, you know, suit and tie. And then we get in our Ram truck and then we take off. And then the helicopter flies away. And it was just whenever we would say, hey, we're thinking about. And he never said no. He would always go, we'll somehow make this happen. And, I mean, we were very lucky. You know, when it came to Super Bowl week, the sets that we had, we built a high-rise in New York. In New Orleans, we built a, it looked like the French Quarter. It's just, they did a wonderful job. And forever indebted to Chris Long and, you know, James Crittenden, a lot of people who made all of this happen. You know, Don, who was our director, and Wags, like just wonderful people who every Super Bowl year and Super Bowl week, you'd go, they did it again. Miami, we basically took over a parking garage and had that whole set up there. They were just wonderful. They did a great job. Yeah, Paul.
The New York set was so spectacular. It was, like you said, a big brownstone. It had a basketball court, all this stuff. Jerry Seinfeld walks onto the set. He walked on like 2 minutes early. He was the first interview of the day. And I don't even know if you heard this, but Jerry Seinfeld looks around and goes, Dan Patrick, you've got Seinfeld money. That's what you impressed Jerry Seinfeld. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I knew that I'd made it. Yes, McLovin.
Do you remember the set that froze over in Dallas? That was amazing. But
oh, boy.
Then the... That was the craziest week we've had, I think.
Because we had freezing rain and snow. We did not dress for it. I think it was kind of a surprise blizzard there. It's 12 degrees. And we were not, we were out semi-enclosed, I should say. We had a roof over our head, but we had no heat in there. But we had a football field, and then we had a mechanical bowl. It was like being in a tent that was opened up. And I remember that I was trying to speak that first day. It was so cold. And I thought I was speaking. I thought my mouth was moving. I don't know if anything was coming out. And I just said to the Danettes, we got through with that Monday. And I said, look, nobody wants to hear that we're going to complain. That this, we're at the Super Bowl. And yes, it's cold. Let's make the most of it. And that's as proud as I've been of you guys. Because we had fun with it. It was inhumane conditions, I think. But we had fun and we made the most of it. And it was just that was combat pay. Yeah, see.
Hey, you know what? I always think about that too, because I learned so much about Dallas and Texas and sort of that region. Because we, after that first show, it was freezing cold. We got a car and they're like, all right, go to REI, buy yourself jackets and like make sure that you're comfortable and all that stuff. And they're like, oh, it's in Dallas, the REI, just go over there. And it took us an hour driving to the REI, and we were still in Dallas. We were still in the same city, and it took us an hour to drive. And it's not like we were stuck in traffic or anything. The cities there are just that big, and I had never experienced that before.
Well, they only had two salt trucks, I think, in Dallas. That was it. And we were only a couple of blocks away where our hotel was to the set, but still, that was... There were some cold, cold mornings there. Yes, Don.
And the locals were telling us that the streets, the roads, there's no drainage system. They're not used to having anything like that. So everything just stayed like a sheet of ice all week beyond just everything else that was going on there.
Yeah. But, you know, New Orleans was great. They wanted to make it special. And they certainly did, because when you saw that we were at the Super Bowl, Indianapolis. We had a racetrack. I didn't ask for a racetrack, but we took over a minor league ballpark, and then we're downtown, and we had a unbelievable set. We had a basketball hoop, and then we had a racetrack with these little go-karts. And I just said, yeah, sure. Yeah, Paul.
Going back to the Dallas one, when it was 15 degrees on the Tuesday show, we were all bundled up, which felt so weird being in Dallas. And you opened the Tuesday show. Welcome to Winter X Games. I'm your host, Dan Patrick. Sal Masekela will be joining us in a minute.
Oh,
it was very funny.
I had a heater that was on the side of me. And so one half of me was warm and the other half was frostbit. But we played in the snow, and it was just a lot of fun.
That's the closest I've ever come to seeing someone die right in front of me, too, because Todd, I don't know if he could have made it another day. Yeah, I've never seen anyone so cold in my entire life.
Well,
than
okay. Okay. When Todd's cold, he's the coldest guy. He's the coldest guy in the history of the universe.
I was legitimately that cold. I don't know if it's because I lived in L.A. for 10 years and my blood thinned out or whatever. But stop. I wasn't looking for attention. What does that accomplish?
How's your blood thinning out? You're in Dallas for a day.
I don't know. I'm trying to think.
You live in Connecticut. It's not like you live in Tampa.
The worst thing was just trying to type with your mittens on or your gloves. You can't type on your keyboard of your laptop, but then you're trying to communicate with people and send notes. You're hitting five letters at once.
Todd's uncomfortable in optimal conditions at room temperature. Imagine 12 degrees.
Yeah. That is true. As I'm sitting here, I'm not comfortable.
Yeah. It was great. But it was so much fun because it was just us. You know, that we just said, let's just do it. There was no script, obviously. And I just said, just have fun. Because when people hear the media go, oh, it's too hot here, or oh, too much traffic here, like, shut up. You know, people don't get that opportunity. We get that opportunity every year. And I just said, make the most of it. Nobody wants to hear that you're having a bad day. Yeah, McClellan.
One thing that shocked me in Indianapolis was the crowd, because, we're up in Connecticut. I had no idea. All of a sudden, thousands of people are lining up to see our show. I was like, who are these people? It was amazing. And they were on top of us that year.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was great. So we've had a lot of great memories with DirecTV and AT&T. And here we are in our man cave. I guess we've come full circle. It's not like going back to my attic, the attic days, but... next year, we're going to continue to downsize. Next thing you know, we'll just be in a closet. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come up with a poll question, McLovin. You going to have that?
Yeah, I have a couple options.
All right. I also have something interesting about the 2016 NFL draft with the quarterbacks in that draft. Have that for you coming up as well. And our play of the day. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play, play of the day.
Check this out.
Left circle, Pastrnak. Now Krejci fakes the shot. Pastrnak shoots, deflected. They score! Patrice Bergeron with the dagger in overtime. Bruins with another power play goal. And they shock the Flyers 4-3 in overtime.
Third time this season, the Bruins overcome a two-goal deficit in the third period to win a game. That's courtesy of the Sports Hub, Bruins Radio Network. Play of the day brought to you by M-Drive. Take the supplement I take every day. Powerful ingredients backed by science. I get energized, stronger, leaner. Go to mdrivedan.com today. Get free shipping. 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. Joe Montana at the top of the hour. And, of course, it was back in 2012 at the Super Bowl when Joe joined us in the man cave. Does it bother you when people go, Joe Montana, system quarterback?
No, I have, because I have four of those system rings.
That's a great answer. That's because McLovin said privately to me that Montana's a system quarterback. And, of course, I said publicly to Montana that McLovin had said that about him being a system quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't deny it.
You are right about that.
He basically agrees.
It's confirmation that he has four system Super Bowls there.
Wins are not a quarterback stat.
Yeah, well, they are in the Super Bowl. They should be. Every quarterback in the 2016 draft has been cut, traded, or benched, except for one. Let me run down the list here. Jared Goff traded. Carson Wentz benched. Paxton Lynch cut. Christian Hackenberg cut. Jacoby Brissett traded. Cody Kessler traded. Connor Cook cut. Dak Prescott stayed. Cardale Jones traded. Kevin Hogan cut. Nate Sudfeld cut. Jake Ruddick cut. Brandon Allen cut. Jeff Driskel cut. Brandon Doughty cut. Everybody but Dak Prescott on that list there.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
Boy, the NBA is bound and determined to hold an All-Star game. The NBA has announced that Atlanta will host the All-Star game March 7th. I wonder if courtside Karen is going to be there at that game for the All-Star game. I don't know. Is she barred from the Hawks games? But the sides are finalizing the details of the plan as early as today. All right. I also saw this. The Tampa mayor, it makes a playful push to rename the city Tampa Bay if the Buccaneers win the Super Bowl. I don't know. I hope that mayor has a good lawyer because Tom's people are going to come after him. I don't even think that Tom Brady came up with a Tampa Bay t-shirt. I think he came up with Tampa Brady. And remember when we had our cease and desist letter, or no, it was a threat of a cease and desist letter that we could no longer sell Tampa Bay t-shirts. And we, of course, you know, decided that that was the best approach after McLovin said, you do not want to mess with this legal team.
Oh, that firm? Yeah. Even when I was at like the blue blood as a paralegal, we stayed away from that particular firm.
And, you know, so we thought, oh, Super Bowl, it's back and the Buccaneers are in there. Do we bring back Tampa Bay t-shirts? And I go, nope, we are not doing that with Tom. Yeah, Paulie.
On the TB12 Sports website, you could buy all types of supplements and recovery and books and videos, but you could also buy shirts and gear. And he has Tampa Brady as a series of shirts, but he does not have Tampa Bay.
Yeah, but Tampa Brady is not good.
Right.
Tampa Bay is really good.
There's also shirts that just say the word pliability on it. Just a black shirt with white pliability, and there's no logo of Tom Brady's at all.
Hmm.
Like you're announcing, I'm pliable.
Yeah, when you're walking around in public, and you know, sometimes you may have that question, is that person pliable?
Look at that guy. He seems pliable.
He's got it written all over him. Yeah, he's pliable. All right, McLovin, you got a poll question today?
Okay, I'm going to ask you to get a little X's and O's here. Right. If I took the quarterbacks off the board, which way are you leaning for the Super Bowl MVP? Really, who's going to be the most impactful player? And I'm just going to run down the odds and tell me the dark horse you like here. Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Leonard Fournette at 2,500, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, then the first defensive player, Tyrann Mathieu, Devin White, Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, then Shaq Barrett at 4,500. That's sort of a, there's a shelf there. Then it goes down another step. Anybody you see, is there a guy you're like, oh, I think this guy's going to blow up?
Non-quarterback.
Non-quarterback, yeah.
Also, did you see where Pro Football Focus was ranking the players in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
In order of importance or talent? 10 of the first 15 players play for the Buccaneers. 18 of the first 30 players they ranked play for the Buccaneers. And they're the underdogs here. Yeah, McLovin.
You know who's a hot bet? I read this. Sammy Watkins is a 40-1 MVP because he hasn't played all playoffs, but everyone thinks they're going to double team Hill and Kelce, leaving like a Sammy Watkins open. Like the Chiefs, if you look at it, they have like 800 ways to kill you.
Yeah, but I don't know if a receiver is going to win because Mahomes is going to get the credit.
So you wouldn't waste money on that anyway. Because yeah, Mahomes wasn't great last year and he won.
Because if Kelce has 12 catches for 128 yards and three touchdowns, it's still going to be Mahomes threw for 355 and 3 touchdowns. Unless Tyreek Hill does something truly incredible, which is not out of the realm of possibilities here, it's still going to be Patrick Mahomes. Like, Mahomes got credit for the throw to Tyreek Hill on the 3rd and 15 against the Niners because he was going to get plastered by Bosa. He somehow threw it up there, and Tyreek Hill was open. Could have had a fair catch if he wanted to. He was that wide open. I think Leonard Fournette might be sneaky because he could get a couple of touchdowns. But I go back to when Brady and the Patriots beat Atlanta, I thought James White was the MVP. I mean, he scored the game winner. I don't know how many. He had double-digit receptions. I thought he was the most valuable player for the Patriots in that comeback. If I look at the fourth quarter and overtime, I mean, he was the most valuable player. Yeah, McClubb.
Last defensive guy, I believe, was Von Miller going against, as you mentioned yesterday, Mike Remmers. So how about a Shaq Barrett vote? Same repeat of 2015.
Well, you could have Chris Jones, maybe, and you could have Shaq Barrett. Chris Jones, you could say, could have been, should have been the MVP last year. But, you know, go back to Malcolm Butler, who made the biggest play in Super Bowl history, and he was not the most valuable player. There's nobody more valuable than the guy who made that play with the interception, with the game on the line, at the goal line in the final minute. Like, in the history of the Super Bowl, nobody has been more valuable, even though it's one play, than Malcolm Butler was.
Who won that? Was that Tom?
Yeah. Because I was going to ask, and I didn't, and it's wise that I didn't, because I was going to say, hey, did you think about giving that truck to Malcolm Butler? Like, I didn't want to put him in that situation where, you know, I think I might have said something like, hey, are you going to let Malcolm drive the truck sometimes, or something like that. I didn't want it to be, because I thought it'd be a great moment if Brady goes, you know what, I didn't deserve this. Malcolm, wherever you are, come up and get the keys. That's how I saw it playing out in my mind. Yes, Paulie.
2 weeks after the Super Bowl, Tom Brady did give the truck to Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Maybe we were connecting without saying anything.
Vibing him.
Yeah, vibing. Definitely vibing. Yes, Paulie.
You know, a way to get it, if it's a low-scoring game and someone stands out, a couple years ago when it was 13-3 Patriots over the Rams, nobody in that game did anything offensively except for one guy, Julian Edelman. He had 10 catches for 141 yards. He had more. He demolished everybody and won MVP. And he's only the second wide receiver in the past 15 years to win MVP.
Yes, Todd.
And it seems like for a receiver to get it, because like you were saying, the quarterback's going to get as much, if not more, of the credit. Maybe if you're catching like some screen passes and then you break a few for like many yards or a couple of touchdowns as opposed to catching a 60-yard pass, then maybe a receiver could get an MVP.
Thank you, Todd.
Welcome.
But it's like Lynn Swann against the Cowboys. He had these acrobatic catches. And if Tyreek Hill does something truly incredible, then he would get the credit over Mahomes. Coming up, Joe Montana, system quarterback, will join us, as will Troy Aikman in the second hour. 1 hour in the books, 2 more to go. Dan Patrick Show. One more item. We close out the first hour. Go to rockauto.com. All the parts your car or truck will ever need. Rockauto.com, a family business founded by automotive engineers in 1999. And they started with 2 goals in mind. First, to give you direct access to all the parts information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. What goes on behind that parts store counter? And second, to make the parts affordable. They offer reliably low prices. Rockauto.com has the correct parts for both old and new cars. You can't just pour 10W30 oil into just about every engine you like the last 30 years. RockAuto.com has specific oil, transmission fluid, antifreeze, other chemicals that your car must have. Don't waste time and money hunting for the parts, phoning, driving, waiting in lines. Go to RockAuto.com today. Make sure you tell them we sent you. Write Dan Patrick in the "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you, and they'll make sure that they take care of you. You get that white glove treatment there. All the parts your car or truck will ever need, RockAuto.com.